Hi, welcome to the brand new Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Waters. I'm a former journalist and English teacher turned full-time entrepreneur with 20 plus years of online business experience, and I would love to help you be your own boss.
Are you ready to take control of your life? Then you've come to the right place. The Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast is here to help entrepreneurs like you start, grow, and scale the online business you love. Join host Michelle Waters as she shares her journey from the classroom to the freedom of being her own boss. She'll interview inspiring entrepreneurs and share tips and insights along the way. All right, without any further ado, let's get this show started.
Welcome back to the show. I love stories and I love telling them, so you might have to bear with me for a little bit. One of my favorite stories to tell is that I knew I wanted to be a teacher when I was 7, and then I forgot for 30 years. And they all look at me funny, like, what? And they're kind of, you can see them doing the math in their minds, trying to figure out what I'm talking about. And then, of course, I also tell them, if you know what you want to do with your life sometime before you're 37 years old, then you are ahead of me. What I do know is that I loved playing school back when I was, 6, 7 years old. I have a few stories that I could share with that, but I'm not gonna bore you with all those details, but I loved playing school and I always wanted to be the teacher. I used to drive my sister insane. She used to call me bossy. Everybody thought I was bossy. I didn't know that this just meant I would be a good teacher. But anyway, what I ended up doing is I kind of looked around and I in my family didn't have any teachers. And so it really never occurred to me that I might actually become one. And so when I was in the 3rd grade, my teacher assigned us to write a poem and I did. And she really liked it. And she took it to the 6th grade teachers who said, oh, wow, this is a really good poem, especially for a 3rd grader. And then when I was in the 6th grade, I wrote another poem and won an award for that in my school. And so then I ended up in the 8th grade and decided to be on the yearbook staff. And there's a story there that I've told many times, and I'll share that one for later. But I realized that I looked around and I knew I liked to write and people thought I was a good writer, but I didn't see a whole lot of people on yearbook staff, not a whole lot of grown-ups. I didn't see anybody earning money from doing that. And so my school, when I was in the 9th grade, had a newspaper, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to join the newspaper. And from there, I discovered that, I guess you could say, I had ink in my veins before it was cool. So I started writing for the school newspapers, and I served in various editorial positions, and then decided to major in journalism in college and served on the newspaper staff for my collegiate paper, and then also did an internship with a local city newspaper and just kind of didn't leave after the internship was over. And I won several writing awards, which I can tell you about that more later. I like to hang them on the wall in my classroom or when I have a classroom because, inevitably a kid's going to ask me, what are those? And that gives me an opportunity to share my stories. What ended up happening, though, is I really enjoyed working for newspapers and I was having a great time, covering all kinds of interesting stories, getting to hear lots of people tell me their stories and getting to share those stories. And then I found out that I was pregnant with my son. And at the time, I was working the 2 to 10 shift on the newspaper staff. And it occurred to me that 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. is not really a good time to be working if you have children because, who's going to watch the kids? What daycare is open? What babysitter is available? And I didn't live in the same town as my mom and she was busy doing her thing anyway. And so I thought, how can I do that? And then it also occurred to me that I can't be a great newspaper reporter and a great mom at the same time. Inevitably, something is going to suffer. I thought, well, what if I, went to work and put my son in a daycare if I can get the day shift or something. And it occurred to me if something happened to me, they would probably have me replaced inside a week. And it occurred to me also that I am the only person on the face of the planet who can be my son's mom. And so I talked with my husband and we decided that I would stay home. And so I did that for about a year and realized that while I absolutely love my son, he's my favorite son. Yes, he is my only son, but he's my favorite son. Anyway, I love him, but as a one-year-old, he was not the best conversationalist in the world. And I was feeling kind of lonely and like I needed to talk to people. And I'm also sitting here thinking I've got this four-year degree in journalism with minors in public relations and art, and I'm not doing anything with it. And if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And I've spent money on this and time, and I need to do something with this. And so I was on some parenting message boards where I was getting to know moms from all over the world, and kind of we were talking with each other and sharing tips and advice on raising our kids, and you know, sharing pictures of our kids in private forums, not publicly. And it took me, or I'm sorry, it took a couple of other moms about 2 hours one day to teach me how to post a picture online. Now, those of you that are young, you know, in your 20s or 30s, you're thinking, why would it take so long to click a few buttons and upload a picture? This was back in the day when you had to use either HTML code or BB code to post pictures on a forum. And the two ladies who were helping me do this were kind of confused on which one we were supposed to use on this particular message board, but I finally figured it out and made it happen. And I thought, you know what? I am really embarrassed. This is ridiculous that it took me so long to figure this out. And so I decided to teach myself HTML. And so I went online and I found tutorials, and you know, this was before YouTube was a thing. And I found written tutorials and learned how to write HTML code and CSS or cascading style sheet code. Pretty soon, some of my friends on that message board found out that I was able to create websites because I, you know, created some websites. I used some blogging software. This was before WordPress was a thing. And had set up a site where I was, you know, just writing, because that's what I do, and sharing, you know, stories from my life. And they said, hey, we're, you know, selling baby slings and cloth diapers online, and we'd like to sell our stuff online. Can you build a website? And I remember sitting in the chair in my office. It was probably, you know, midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning, because, you know, I can't sleep at normal hours. And I just remember this little light bulb going on over my head and realizing, hey, I could do that as a business. I could be a business owner and I can earn money to help support my family and stay home building websites for my friends. And so I started learning how to build e-commerce websites and started collaborating and partnering with other work-at-home moms, you know, including some people who were programmers and had software. And I set up a business. It was called, let's see, I started it out calling it Waters Web Designs because I started designing the sites. And then it occurred to me that the real money was in hosting, because, you know, you could charge people $10, $20, $40 a month depending on the level of product that you were offering to them, and you didn't really have to do a whole lot. So, you know, I wasn't trading dollars for hours. It was slightly more passive income, although there was that customer service piece. And so I started hosting websites, and I partnered with a lady named Jen, who was also, well, she was a reseller, and so I partnered with her as a reseller under her. We were reselling space on a server, and one of the things that she did for me is that she helped teach me how to solve server-related problems. Some sort of script wasn't behaving itself, and so she would figure out what the problem was, and then instead of just fixing it and then telling me, oh, it's solved, you know, thanks, she would sometimes fix the problem, but then she would also explain to me exactly what she did to fix it. Like, she was teaching me how to solve the problems myself. And so I got to the point where I could log into this, you know, Linux server running a Red Hat Linux, running Apache web server, and I could, you know, SSH or Telnet into the server and use Unix code to make changes to files and edits and work on their permissions and do whatever it is that needed to be done. You know, and this is, you know, until 2000, I'd never even seen the inside of a computer. And now here I am going in with code and changing things. And it was all because somebody who, gosh, I think she was out of Illinois, partnered with me and taught me how to do this. And so, you know, that always stuck with me. And that's kind of something that has informed me as a teacher, is that it's kind of like the story that if you, You know, you give a man a fish, he can eat for a day, but if you teach him how to fish, he can eat for the rest of his life. That's what Jen was doing for me. And it might have been self-serving in that, you know, she'll quit bothering me if she can just fix it herself. But it ultimately enabled me to run a successful hosting company. At one point, I had, you know, 4 dedicated servers, and I ended up hiring a customer support company that provided technicians to run my help desk around the clock, which was absolutely amazing. I know there was one day that we were switching out, my Extreme providers and I were switching out the server, one server for another. I think one server is kind of starting to crash, and so we decided to move everybody. And you know, we're talking like 200 sites from one server to another. And so I was up until probably 3 in the morning, just, you know, responding to people who were saying, hey, this thing's not working. And I was, you know, solving the problem for them, answering their questions. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I hit the wall. And I thought, oh my word, I cannot do this. I have got to go to bed. You know, this was like right after I'd hired this customer service company. And so I went to bed and I didn't wake up till noon. And I got up and I was just so scared to go into my computer, because I thought there are going to be a million help desk tickets. Everybody is going to be so mad because I have been dead to the world for hours. And so I made it to my office and I logged into my computer, and sure enough, there were a bunch of tickets, and so I started reading through them and realized, oh my word, my customer service people had taken care of every single person, had solved their problems. Everybody was happy. You know, they were saying, y'all, you guys are great. You're taking care of us. This is wonderful. I love having a hosting company that, you know, actually, you know, takes care of my problems and solves them and so quickly. And I was just like ready to cry, sitting at my desk, wanting to hop on a plane and fly to wherever this company was and like hug people. Except, you know, I controlled myself. I didn't want to scare anyone. It was just an amazing thing to have that help. And that has also stuck with me as well, something that I, you know, am wanting to bring into this business as I'm kind of switching gears in my life. One of the other things that I did during that time is I looked at my customers and I realized a couple of things. First of all, they loved cutesy pink and blue and mint green and little, you know, ducks and animals and cutesy websites, and I am just so not cutesy at all. If you have ever looked at any of my websites, there is nothing cutesy about it. I realized that I didn't have the design aesthetic that they wanted. That was the first thing. The other thing I realized is that when a work-at-home mom who is, you know, whether she's coaching or, you know, like business coaching, or if she is selling those cloth diapers or baby slings or her jewelry or candles or whatever she's doing, she doesn't look for somebody to build her website based on the technical specifications. She doesn't go and say, oh, I'm getting, you know, 2 terabytes of bandwidth, so that's great, I'm going to go with them. She looks for the design. She looks for somebody who has the design style she wants. And so she hires a web designer. And then when that web designer says, hey, you ought to host your site at this place, she listens to them. I also know that if people in your market know, like, and trust you, they're likely to hire you. And so one of the things that I would do was go to a work-at-home mom forum on a message board that I was a member of, and I would look for work-at-home moms to have web design and hosting related questions, and I would go in and answer those questions for them, just to kind of show them not only that I knew what I'm talking about, but also that I was there to take care of them. I noticed that there was another lady who kept jumping in ahead of me. Her name was Jen also. But anyway, she kept jumping in and catching all of these posts that where people were asking hosting related questions or design related questions, and she was giving the answers I wanted to give. She's like stealing my answers and getting there ahead of me. And I knew from reading her profile and reading her post, she had like 4 kids, and I'm thinking, at this point in time, I had 2, and I'm barely keeping up with, you know, all of these posts, and she's just on it. And I'm thinking, how is she doing this? And I was kind of getting a little bit mad at her, kind of thinking, I wish she would just go away because she's taken my business. Well, one day she messaged me, and I'm pretty sure it was on Yahoo Messenger. Yes, it was 100 years ago, but she messaged me. And she said, hey, Michelle, I just want to let you know that I've got a new design client and she wants to host with you. So I thought maybe that we could kind of work together, or maybe, you know, I had a few questions about how to set things up on this cart because I'm new to it. And another little light bulb went on over my head. And it occurred to me, if I partner with her, and then find a way to encourage her to send more clients my way, then we could work together. Instead of competing, instead of me being mad that she's, you know, getting to these posts before I do, I can just sit back and let her take them because I know she'll send people my way. So I thought, and this was probably another 3 a.m. thought process that I was having, how could I convince her to work with me more? How can we partner together? And at the time, I was kind of getting to know Kelly McCauzy and Alice Seba and some of those other ladies, and they were talking about affiliate marketing and setting up your own affiliate program, not just joining, but creating your own program. And so looking at what they were doing in online marketing, I'm thinking, you know, if I could offer my design partners like a 10% commission on hosting packages, then they would be more inclined because they'll get, you know, they will get some benefit, a monetary benefit from sending people my way. And plus, I'll take really good care of them. You know, I'll be available via Yahoo Messenger. I'll be available via email and, you know, my customer support people as well. So I'll make sure they're very well taken care of and they will definitely want to send people my way. So let's say somebody purchased a hosting account for $10 a month, I would send my design partners $1. I would keep $9 that for that particular client who that particular design partner had referred. So that's $9 I was getting that I wouldn't have gotten before if that person had not told their customer, hey, you need to go host with Michelle. And so I'm like, hey, you know, we're just making the pie a little bigger here. And that worked out really well. There was a point where I was sending at least one of my design partners $300 a month because she had sent that much business my way. So that rocked on for a while. I, you know, was having a good time with that. And I started a podcast called Product Sellers Talk Radio. And I had a virtual assistant, Christina Lemmy, who was helping me edit and write the show notes, and that podcast ended up being voted one of SMB Trendwire's top 100 business podcasts for 2009. I'd actually completely forgotten about that until I started surfing through Wayback Machine and found an old podcast called Diva Talk Radio where I had been a guest host actually. And so that was part of the show notes. So that was kind of a nice walk down memory lane. I also hosted a live virtual summit for product sellers in September 2008 that featured online marketers, some of whom are still killing it in business today. But I was kind of starting to get an itch, I guess you could call it, and just started thinking that, you know, spending all my time on the computer in my office by myself just was not working out for me. And both my kids were in school and I was just wanting to do something different. I was wanting to teach and get back to my seven-year-old roots. And so I ended up selling my company in 2009 to one of my, I guess you could say, competitors who had also been sort of the upstream support for the software, the e-commerce software that I was offering at the time. So I knew she'd take really good care of my customers. And so I sold my company and started being a substitute teacher at my children's schools while I worked on getting my tests taken in order to, you know, be a certified teacher. And after about the first 2 years, I realized, well, like the first day, I realized, wow, this is way harder than anybody had ever described. I have no idea what I'm doing, so I need help. And so I started going around just trying to find anybody and everybody who could help me. And, you know, I went to online forums, which really kind of were not so much of a thing anymore. And I went to Twitter, which is a whole other story. And then I decided to start a blog because, you know, I'm a writer. That's what I do. And so I started Mrs. Waters English. And a couple of years, that was about 2012. And a year later, I started selling lesson plans on a teacher e-commerce site and earned $6 that first year. That was in 2013. And then I started selling lesson plans and entire units on my own site on the Mrs. Waters English blog in 2015. And that first year that I did that, I earned $1,930 on the teacher site and $156.72 on my own site. And then in 2016, I earned $3,857 on the teacher site and $213 on my own site. I give you those numbers because this was so much of a side hustle. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to teach. I'm trying to do all the lesson planning, do all the grading, and, you know, try to figure out, you know, how, you know, can I take care of my kids? And then also I started working on my master's degree, which graduation December 18th. Depending on whether you've listened to this or not, I either have my master's degree or am about to. We'll see. I was named Teacher of Today at my school by the by the Masonic Lodge. Several of my students have entered and won writing contests, and others have even started their own businesses. And a couple of them even came to me and said, "Hey, Mrs. Waters, can you help me start my business? Help me figure out how to start an LLC." And I said, "Sure." And so we sat down at a coffee shop. I helped them get started. And then, you know, one of them said, "Yeah, I posted on social media about starting my business." And I had several people coming to me saying, "Hey, how do I do this?" And he said, "Maybe you should start doing that." And another little light bulb went on over my head. And so that's kind of one of the reasons why I'm sitting here today recording this podcast episode. But going back in time again, you know, that was this summer. So going back in time, back to 2017, I realized that my lesson plans, my unit plans, all of that work wasn't just about me. Wasn't just about me anymore. And I thought back to those days when I was partnering with web designers, web design competitors, and making them partners, and how we worked together to build each other up. And I thought, you know what? I want to do that again. I want to partner with teachers and with writers to create lessons that would encourage students to see themselves as readers and writers. So I renamed my company to Rethink ELA and made it an educational publishing company. And last year, that side hustle earned me $11,792. Now, I know some of you, you know, who are like doing the whole six-figure thing. Remember, like I said, this is a side hustle and I am a teacher. I don't have much side. don't have much to work with. So I think, doing pretty well considering that I wasn't doing a whole lot with it. I had my sales funnel set up. I had my automation set up. I had things that had to be done outsourced. But for the most part, it was running on autopilot. And so, you know, I've decided that I really want to focus more of my time on growing my business, on serving you, and earning money while I did that. Because, you know, we all have to eat. We've all got to pay our bills. And, you know, we also like to do some fun things. I would love to be able to travel and go places and talk to people. And I want to have that freedom to be my own boss, to do what I know I'm supposed to do, to be paid well for it, and, you know, to go to the bathroom whenever I want. So because of some health issues that started this year, I decided to step out of the classroom and focus on finishing my education, on running Rethink ELA. And then I also decided to start Rethink Your Lifestyle, because I know there's some teachers and some moms and some students out there who are like, "Hey, I want to do my own business and I want us all to work together and help each other grow. I want us all to be able to be our own bosses. I want us all to be able to start, grow, and scale businesses that we love."
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast, where you learn how to be your own boss. Have questions about starting, growing, or scaling your business? You can ask us anything. Just fill out the form at www.rethinkyourlifestyle.com/askmeanything. And Michelle will answer your burning entrepreneurial questions in an upcoming episode. Also, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll catch you next time.